Fan Morning Show, Justin and Ailish, Baby Friday, Maple Leafs, headed wherever they're headed. Some rest and relaxation, some vitamin D, couple pina coladas.
Maybe. What would your move be?
I would like to go somewhere warm.
Would be warm weather?
Yeah, play a little golf.
Not skiing or something to embrace winter?
We're already in the cold.
Because you said it. You can't ski if you're a hockey player. You can't snowboard if you're a hockey player. Well, you don't really get that option.
You're risking it big time if you do such a thing. I would go.
The time.
Oh, yeah.
You don't get weekends. You don't get leisure time.
I don't know. I think I'd rather rest.
Yeah, probably.
Get some sun.
Spicy margs.
And if you want to do some activity, play golf. Love to go and play golf somewhere.
That would be a good way to.
You know?
Yeah.
Come back refreshed. Work on my swing.
You ever been to one of those resorts where it's like they got like a sick golf course?
I've never been to a resort.
You ever been to a resort?
Nope.
Interesting.
I'm not an all-inclusive.
Life of a hockey player, right?
I don't go on spring break with everyone to Cabo.
Wow.
Punta Cana.
Wow.
Dominican.
Treat yourself.
I was busy focused watching my tapes back. Sat there with my notebook drawing up face-off plays. I wonder what Nick Kiprios did. Co-host of Real Kipper and Born. Stanley Cup champ. Kipper, did they have the all-star break back then? What did you get up to? Little shenanigans when you had some time off?
Yeah, not quite the length that they're going to get in the next little while. But based on last night, they were already at Turks and Caicos in the Bahamas.
In their minds, yeah.
You know, our lockout, when we got locked out, the significant one for us in 94, we couldn't get down to Mexico fast. Call us when it's over.
Yeah, it's a good spot to be when you're waiting on a decision, I suppose. Okay, so if they were already, you know, mined on Turks last night, that I guess is an excuse or does excuse them. So I guess we got to ask ourselves, we were pretty fiery in the first hour. We were kind of disappointed in what we saw. Pretty clear there's a difference between the two teams, at least last night. And maybe it was just that the minds were in different spots. One was focused on breaking a losing streak, the other maybe on pending vacations. But did you learn anything from what you saw that you might not have knew that was confirmed? What did you take from last night?
Well, first of all, you know, even going into the week, I kind of made a mention on our show to Justin Bourne and Sammy McKee that, you know, it seems like one of those games where if Toronto or Boston win 5-2, and I did throw that score out there, by the way, I'm not sure when it comes on the last day of a lengthy break and plans to go away and family and friends for All-Star weekends and who's staying at what hotel and what parties are we going to go to is the most ideal time to make a huge judgment. Saying that, there were parts of last night where I think if you're Brendan Shanahan, Kyle Dubas, and Sheldon Keefe, that you can take parts of that game and go, okay, where are we inferior to the Boston Bruins, and where could we now feel and envision us playing them and winning a game 7, and what needs to be done between now and the trade deadline. And I think that was enough last night to say that we've got some work to do.
How much do you think is Austin Matthews related? Like, clearly he's going to have an impact. Clearly it's going to make a difference if he's out of the lineup. But do some of the same issues still apply even if he was there?
For sure. No question about it. And, you know, healthy Austin does make a difference last night. But it's not enough in a best of 7 when you have to critique your lineup from top to bottom. And I thought, again, pretty much what we've talked about all season kind of came to fruition last night with issues on the bottom 6, your third and fourth lines. Defense is an issue, and questionable goaltending. Do I dare say that that's crept back in now in terms of what you think of your goaltending and how comfortable are you just leaving it as is? I wrote my article in the Toronto Star today on the goaltending situation and the Matt Murray scenario and how comfortable do you feel with going back to Matt Murray and the thought that, you know, he could bail at any time due to injury. How does that make you feel going into a playoff where you have to get out of the first round? Kyle Dubas' job depends on it.
Okay, so I think we're in the same boat in terms of seeing some contrast between the Boston Bruins, who are the best team in the NHL, of course, and the Maple Leafs, who have some areas of improvement. And Justin and I were maybe in a little bit of, not disagreement, but we both see two different directions that maybe could be a focus, maybe even three, at the trade deadline. Did last night instruct you in terms of needing more depth up front, maybe your defense? You know, Sandin hasn't really come back to the level of magnitude that we hope for, or Samsonov as well, maybe needing to get some support back there if he's starting to shoulder the load too much. Did it help you at all lean into, if you want to match up against this Boston Bruins team, this is what you need to do at the trade deadline?
Yeah, no question. The one thing, again, that stands out to me is it just appears that the Boston Bruins are built more for the playoffs than the Toronto Maple Leafs. And, you know, if you want to outskill them, then you take your chances with Nylander and Marner and Matthews. But if, you know, if it gets to the point where they start canceling each other out with Pastrnak and Bergeron and Marchand, then it's going to be those role players that come in and make the difference. And, you know, just another A.J. Greer goal that kind of, you know, had that Nick Paul feeling where it's like you're close, you're there, and then it's not an $8 or $10 million player making the difference. It's a fourth liner who comes up big, and his goal was real key last night. So, you know, pick your poison if you're Kyle Dubas between now and 30 days at the trade deadline in terms of what you feel like you need. You can't go after everything now. It's apparent that you don't have enough assets to take care of three significant issues right now, and that is maybe getting a little bigger and grittier, adding a blue liner, or trying to pick up some more experience in that. You got to pick one, and hopefully you can nail it, because it would make a difference going into the playoffs.
Unfortunately, it looks like the Leafs have more needs than they have assets that they can dangle at the deadline for a reasonable return. So it's going to take some creativity on the part of Kyle Dubas. And maybe that's an area where there is an advantage for the Maple Leafs. Your buddy Borney was, I don't know if he was foreshadowing, but he was pretty hard on the Leafs in the pregame. I don't know if you saw this, Kipper. They were kind of like, who's got the edge in goaltending? Who's got the edge in coaching? Top six forwards, depth, all that. They went through it, him versus Sam Cosentino. And Borney gave the advantage to the Maple Leafs only, I believe it was top six forwards and coaching. So I'll ask you, Is there any category where the Leafs have an advantage on the Bruins?
No. If you want to go top six, you're gonna go with the skill of Matthews, Marner, and Nylander. But as far as a 200-foot game, as far as looking after your responsibilities defensively, as far as more often not cheating to get your looks and chances, again, I'll probably give the Boston Bruins the edge, and been there, done that, won the Stanley Cup. I mean, they're proven guys. So I looked at that board too last night between Sammy and JB, and I probably would have gone Bruins right across the board, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
They're that good. They're having a historic regular season. Of course, that doesn't guarantee you playoff success. Injuries, you know, a cold goaltender, a lot of things can happen once you step on the ice. But again, last night was a pretty good reason why the Boston Bruins have run right over their opposition so far during the regular season.
So if you said if you're going to go with the skill, if that was your choice, you're going to take the skill of Nylander, Marner, Matthews. I don't want to cherry pick that you left out Tavares, but I do think it's interesting to talk about Tavares right now because, you know, we just celebrated 1K, so consistent, you know, exactly what you're going to get from him season over season. But is there a difference, and this is the one thing to worry about Tavares, when it's elite competition he's facing versus, let's say, the Detroit Red Wings of the world, where maybe he looks like the most dominant force on the ice at times. He frankly had a bad game last night.
Is it
concern when it's Lightning Bruins with Tavares, and less concern over, hey, he's going to be a productive player for us in season 6 of his contract, because 82 games are not played at the level of the Bruins and Lightning?
Yeah, listen, he's giving you everything he has. There's no question that he works his ass off, but he's not elite, and that is the challenge sometimes for him when you're pressed up against the world with an $11 million contract. But, you know, as we saw, I think Clifton, you know, skate right by him in the neutral zone on one of the many early chances by the Boston Bruins. You know, there's some certain issues in his game that are concerning against a very fast hockey club. He'll give you a point a game. He's a very good player. But as far as classifying him in there with, you know, Matthews, Marner, and Nylander, he's not there. Is there still a good fit for, you know, a second line centerman that can chip in here and there? Absolutely. And they're going to need him down the stretch. But, you know, I think last night was an example of on some nights, he struggles. And last night there was, it was a very quiet night, and Matthew or Marner, unfortunately, you know, was a part of that quiet night. It just gives you some idea of if your scores, and I'll include Tavares in the top four, aren't going or carrying the mail, this at times can look like a very average hockey club.
Someone that was not quiet was Brad Marchand. Pre-game, during the game, during and on the bicycle, post-game, making comments that a lot of it has a lot of truth to it. I'm talking about the Maple Leafs and their structure, talking about Mitch Marner and poking the bear a little bit there. And obviously on the ice, we know how he plays. Is he, how do you evaluate Brad Marchand? Like, do you like what he gets up to, especially the fact that he kind of puts up and actually proves what he has to say? He's not cowardly. He gets in there and he pushes a lot of buttons, and he's a guy that's tough to play against.
I'm a big Brad Marchand fan, mm-hmm. As most people are. Whether you love or hate him, you'd love him on your team, helping you try to win a Stanley Cup. As far as, you know, quietly manipulating press conference or whatever you want to call his gathering yesterday with the Toronto media, I mean, he knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. He knows how to be the last guy off the ice and come in and kind of wrap, a lot of the media around his finger. He loves social media, and you can tell that because he engages on a few occasions. So, you know, that's all fine and dandy. And, you know, that's just noise to me. And mm-hmm. whether or not he's poking the bear with Mitch Marner skates or not, that it really is just a little, you know, whipped cream on the sundae for him, and I'm sure for the media who lap it up.
Oh, right? They are so excited when he talks.
Right? They love it. Right? Oh my God, he's giving us something to talk about. There's 1,000 people with stories to write, internet or podcasts. So all of that, I don't put too much stock in all of that. All that matters is the player that you see on the ice. And again, he's incredibly talented, but he plays at both ends of the ice. He kills penalties, and he's hard to play against. And that's more than I can say with the majority of the Leaf lineup last night. They were not hard to play against.
So in Marchand's crossfire, we got Steve Dangle, we got Mitch Marner, we also have Michael Bunting. Do you think that he heard maybe the criticism, if you want to call it? It's kind of backhanded. I'm not sure it's direct, maybe a little bit indirect, adjacent, whatever you want to call it. But he was maybe suggesting that Bunting wasn't on his level in terms of pest and aggravator. And Michael Bunting was trying, but we maybe saw the part of Michael Bunting where if it's not working, it kind of works against you.
Well, for sure. And, you know, it's an ongoing conversation that the longer he takes to get up off the ice, the hairy eyeball he gives to the officials. Last night, again, a prime example where, you know, he looks like a kid that gets a little pushed around in the playground and runs to the principal, right? Mm-hmm. And there's other guys that look after it themselves. And I like Michael Bunting a lot, and I think he's worthy of 50 points, 60 points, which puts him at another level, well beyond, you know, a fourth liner. But it's clear that the league has spoken, and they don't like a lot of his antics, and he will not get the benefit of the doubt on the ice, and he's going to have to work around that. You can't fight City Hall on this one, and it's been an ongoing theme in the National Hockey League that, you know, to the point where they brought in an embellishment rule. Is they don't like that. The officials do not like trying to get fooled. They don't like to be made look like an embarrassing situation. And, you know, Bunting's got to deal with that. Screaming, ranting, and raving on the bench is not helping him. It's not helping the Leafs. It's not helping Sheldon Keefe. I thought at some point either a coach or a veteran needed to sit his ass down and quiet him down. But it's an ongoing thing. And the answer is that you just play through it, to be honest with you. You can cry again all you want to the league. You can cry to the officials. You can go into the post-game comments and say it's unfair. But the best way to deal with it is play through it. And that's still a lesson that needs to be learned.
See, you brought up a good point that I was curious about in your perspective of playing is how distracting or frustrating can that be for players on your team? Because there's a goal scored last night, and then right afterwards, I think it was Yarncrook that scored it, there's that scuffle behind the net, and it takes some momentum out of... You just scored a goal.
Scored 40 seconds later, didn't they?
Yeah.
To reestablish two goals.
Exactly.
Lead?
And then there's this like unnecessary fight and you're jumping around.
At four on four.
Yeah. And then the momentum of you don't even go to the bench to celebrate, the crowd gets out of it, and then a goal is scored. Yeah. And I wonder if that is like a role for, you know, a captain or a leader to be like, no. Let's dial it back, buddy.
No, that was fine. The skirmish that he had behind the net with Coyle that led to 4-on-4 was absolutely fine. Mm. That stuff happens. That's a hockey play. Guys get engaged. That should not have upset the apple cart at all, going 4-on-4. That is more of a hockey-related incident than sometimes, you know, the antics of trying to get an official's attention after a missed call. That's the stuff that would piss off your teammates in terms of, you know, maybe throwing off a rhythm. But, you know, I liked Michael Bunting engaged with Coyle. The Leafs don't have enough of that. We've had this conversation that, you know, sometimes every once in a while you gotta turn around and look at some opponent and say, I'm not taking your crap. And Michael can do that, but it comes with limitations. He's not that big. He's not that strong. And there's nothing to suggest he's a good fighter.
Yeah. So, I mean,
so you gotta kind of work around it. You gotta fake it until you make it. And Michael just needs to know where his boundaries are in terms of what he wants to get away with or what he wants to push. And he's still figuring that out. He's, you know, he hasn't been around that long. He's had great success since coming in Arizona, and he's got a lot to deal with. But that's part of his game that comes with maturity, and he's still young in that department.
The day is coming, too, where someone just, like, has decided they've had enough of Michael Bunting and is actually going to engage him in a fight that it doesn't seem that he wants to fully engage in, because he does agitate as much as Brad Marchand says he's not on his level or suggests he's not on his level. Eventually, someone's going to get pretty fed up with Michael Bunting, at least it seems. The other thing from that moment with Marchand was his insinuation that the Bruins took less to be this team. Is there any, like, merit to that, or is he just perfectly poking at an insecurity that might affect a fan base, a team, a superstar? Was that just an expert way to cover up for the fact that, they did sign for market value just like 6 years ago?
Yeah, there's nothing there other than, you know, face value, Justin. They're a team and an organization that's been notoriously, what's the word, cheap? Yeah, that's the word. So they don't hand out big contracts. They've managed to keep it down. It was, you know, the Ray Bourque rule all those years. He's the highest paid, and he'll never be one of the highest paid in the league, and everybody's underneath him. And, you know, that's been the way the last, five, six, 7 years. So I think if you want to remain a Boston Bruin, you got to drink that Kool-Aid, and Brad's drinking it. The question is, will Pasternak drink it? You know, last night's message about taking less, again, isn't so much for anyone else, but their structure internally. I think in many ways he was talking to his buddy Pasternak going into free agency. There's a ton of pressure on Pasternak to take less, to stay a Boston Bruin, to continue his legacy, to continue that group's legacy. And we'll see if he drinks it as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, you look at Charlie McAvoy, fourth highest earning defenseman in the league. I'm not sure he's a brilliant defenseman, maybe not at that level. I don't think Pasternak's going to take less. I do think the internal hierarchy has worked in their favor, but I think what really has worked in their favor is that they signed all those contracts before McDavid started earning $12.5 million. So we'll see what happens there with Pasternak. We'll see what happens with the Bruins. We'll see if it happens if the Leafs end up matching up with them in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Appreciate the time, Kipper. We'll do this again next week.
Okay, guys. Have a great day.
That's Nick Kypreos, former NHL forward, of course, a Stanley Cup champion and the co-host of Real Kipper and Boren.
About a week and a bit till your Maple Leafs are back in action. They're headed to the All-Star weekend if you're Mitch Marner with your new skates. And the rest of you, rest up, rehabilitate, because you got another long stretch ahead. It's time for something to chew on, brought to you by Great Canadian Meats.
Yum, yum, yum.
Yesterday, while we were on the air, lots of stuff was happening. Tom Brady retired, and then Herdman apparently was maybe going to go to New Zealand. And there was weird reports, and we were trying to, you know, decipher the validity of them from New Zealand articles and reporters. Anyway, they shut that down real quick. John Herdman staying with Team Canada. Quote, "Success at this level will always invite opportunity. I've received several offers in recent months, all of which I've turned down, including an offer from New Zealand Football." So there was an offer. "To our Canadian players and our fans, I want to reiterate my commitment to Canada soccer and growing the program. At the World Cup in Qatar, our men showed the world that they belong at that level. I'm not going anywhere. We still have a job to do, and the objective is to take this team to the next level in 2026.
Now, "I'm not going anywhere" is strong. Has he signed a deal? I'm not really sure. I don't think that's said explicitly anywhere.
I don't think you can come back from that comment.
And there may be opportunities. Maybe he has been batting them away with a stick. But it feels like he didn't earn the opportunity he might have wanted with his performance at the World Cup. But I do think Canada, I do tend to believe that he can be the right guy for this job. I wasn't exactly, as we've talked about, thrilled with how he performed. I think he let himself down and us and certain media members and certain fans down as well. But I do feel like he's got a good hold on this country. He works well, at least it seems, enough with Soccer Canada that got to this point. I don't think this is a bad thing, but I also don't think it would have been a disaster if he left either.
Well, apparently he's still under contract through the 2026 World Cup.
Really?
Okay. I believe so.
There you go.
He currently has a record of 32 wins, 5 draws, and 13 losses.
What are we talking about then?
I don't know.
I guess he's probably in a position to ask for a little more money. That's probably what's going on. Let those offers come in so you can be like, "Hey, they want to pay me this. Can you match?" And then we'll see if they match.
Well, it's nice to have some stability with this team, right? Like, and I think that an influx of a new coach, new system before you head to a World Cup that you're hosting would be a lot. There could be massive positives, don't get me wrong, but
there could be. There could be someone who says, "Hey, Alphonso Davies, you're not a striker. Let's not play you as a striker."
That's right. Anyway, he's certainly under contract through 2026 when they will host the World Cup here with the United States and Mexico. So it would have been probably some repercussions to jump ship and head to New Zealand. He's got some roots to New Zealand.
Yes.
Personally, but still, nonetheless, he's sticking with Canada and we'll have him as our bench boss.
And he'll go to a World Cup because he wasn't going to a World Cup with New Zealand.
No, that is correct. All right, let's take a break. On the other side, we talked to Marie-Philippe Poulin. She's got some really cool things to promote, but also we switched it up. We did a draft with her. We drafted legendary Canadians.
With a legendary Canadian.
Not a bad setup. We'll take a break. We'll talk to Marie on the other side. It's the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish.
Big opinions and in-depth conversations covering the Leafs, Jays, Raptors, and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back on the Fan Morning Show. It's Baby Friday, everybody. Star-studded lineup of guests today, including Marie-Philippe Poulin, who joined us yesterday in studio. Talk about Truro Skate, which you'll hear about, and a little bit of women's hockey. But also, as we teed up, we did a draft. It's been a while since we did a draft. We have a third person, which is nice for drafting, because one versus one, I would just dummy you.
Yeah, and people, well, I get, this is a two-on-one beatdown.
Buddy,
just a spoiler.
This might be your lowest moment on the
Fan Morning Show. No. I pick nothing but legendary Canadians. Is it my own perspective of what's legendary? Maybe, but I had nothing but
it's legendary
Canadians on my list.
I cannot wait
legendary Canadians.
For the text line to listen to this interview
and chime in. It's all how we interpret a task.
Yeah,
and I
didn't say
it
negatively.
My way.
They will chime in.
I know.
And we will evaluate after the interview.
I will be roasted after this interview.
Most likely. All right. So here's Marie-Philippe Poulin, captain of the Canadian women's hockey team, as we know, three-time gold medalist, three-time world championship gold medalist, and a player development consultant with the Montreal Canadiens.
And a Canadian legend.
That's right. All right. We're joined by a friend of the show. Such a pleasure to see you in studio, Marie. Glad to have you here. You're here to help us break down a really cool initiative that you're supporting as well, Truro Skate. Which we did some research on, which is honestly one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And I wish I had when I was a kid, maybe not, because I would have been less fit at the time. But this fully electric mini ice resurfacing machine, so a little Zamboni, which you can get delivered to your door. First of all, how did you get involved with all of this? Because you're pretty cool to be the face of this.
Well, it's through the app Truro. It's a car company. You can rent, book a car. Mm-hmm. And through that app, they started the skate, the mini ice resurfacing that you can book at any point for your backyard. Imagine?
No, it's amazing.
You can play hockey on the perfectly ice surface outside. And obviously, when they approached me, obviously, this is pretty amazing through hockey, having ice mini ice resurfacer. But also, Truro is matching all the proceeds that goes towards kids' sport, mm-hmm. which is pretty surreal.
So how valuable would the Truro Skate be for you when you were growing up? Like, where you were on the ponds, I assume. You were probably shoveling because you were without the Truro Skate. Like, how good would MPP be right now if she had the Truro Skate when she was younger?
It would have been pretty amazing. I don't know how much work I would have done with my school work, but I've been out there all the time.
It would have been pretty amazing. Okay, so how it works, and we are looking this up, is I can book it for like a four-hour period. You deliver it to my door. My question is, do you personally ride it in to my house? You, yourself, honk, honk, beep, beep, here I am.
It's
on
part of the $30.
Yeah, I think that's part of it.
No. Actually, it is not. And guess what? It's $29.
Amazing.
Guess what? For my number.
Oh, my God.
Pretty amazing.
We were wondering
why
it was so cheap.
We were like, how could it be that affordable? But that's the symmetry you need. You need that
$29. Cool.
If someone says, so they rent it for 4 hours, and they're like, I need one of these. Like, I need it now. I was like, is that in the works? And it was a rental process for now. And I don't know if you know the ins and outs, but this is going to be in high demand. People are going to want to buy this.
It is pretty expensive. It's a Canadian company back in Calgary. And obviously, it's to book it. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if you pay it out rate, it's pretty expensive. So it allows you to get it at any point in the Toronto area.
We need Ben Ennis to... We need to put this on his radar, because he was talking yesterday.
Yeah.
He's trying to flood like a neighborhood rink with his own water, standing outside with a hose all day. He needs to get the Truro Skate. We need to figure out how we can get the 4 hours.
Honestly, I think there's a lot of listeners, because we see photos that have backyard rinks here in the city of Toronto, and it's been cold enough now for the last little while. This is like perfect timing for this, because there was that stretch where it was like raining every day. And obviously we are in prime outdoor skate period. And I want to ask you about kids sport, because I know you've done kids sport stuff in the past. So matching all the proceeds towards kids sport. We have done things with kids sport before. I've been at some of your events that you've helped with. What does kids sport mean to you? What are you hoping for the funds to go to?
I think we all know, like, when you're a kid, sport's very important. I think it shapes you and kind of the person you are, and being able to help that. And you can see one in three families in Canada not have the the facility to mm-hmm. be able to do that. And obviously having Turo, being able to match those proceeds going to those family, I think it's huge. And it's a cause that's really close to my heart and very happy to be part of it.
Well, I need to get building a rink. Too bad I live in a condo. I should have one for my outdoor balcony. Imagine like a tiny little ice surface. But everybody listening can check out Turo, the skate, and you will be able to get more information. And obviously with Poulin being the face of it, it's got to be good stuff, right? Gold medal winning. We love it. We'll talk more about that as well, and we'll continue to push that for you and share that on our socials as well so we can help with all our listeners listening. But since we got you in studio, we got to ask about what's going on with your real life as well. I got to see you last week because you're here for Hockey Day in Canada, which was awesome, up at Owen Sound, and you were in Collingwood. I think with the PWHPA, we talk a lot about being able to go into different markets, being able to go across Canada, United States, which is really important as well. But Collingwood's a new one, and it's just in our backyard as well. A great place to have a Truro skate as well. Like they've got rinks out there. What was it like to just be immersed in that? And I know there's some coming up in Ontario, so our listeners could definitely attend them as well. But what was the atmosphere like in Owen Sound and Collingwood?
It was pretty amazing. I think for me personally, that's where I started playing hockey, in a small community. And obviously being able to reach those community, being able to reach all those little girls, little boys, seeing women's hockey in person, I think it's huge. And obviously, like you mentioned, on February 10, 11, we're coming back here, Kitchener, Peterborough, Barrie, Niagara Falls. So I think it's going to be excited to touch new markets, to touch new community. And it's always fun to promote women's hockey.
So Women's World Championship coming up. What's priority one in 2023? Like, I know the objective doesn't change. It's all about the rivalry. It's all about having another successful year. But 2023, what are you looking forward to the most?
Well, I think obviously right now having a league, I think that's something we're really pushing through, having that PWHPA association, having all the best women's hockey that sense there. I think it's huge. We have the right people behind the door that works for us, with us. And obviously the Brampton World Championship will be very exciting here, being able to be in home soil in front of our family and friends.
We can't wait for Brampton.
Like, I'm a Brampton guy, MPP.
He's a Brampton
guy. If you need any spots, if you need any food recommendations, I got you.
All right. Good to know.
What do you got?
I'm a Pizza Depot guy. Myself. I don't know if that'll exactly be on the regimen. Actually, I'm going to be honest. Brampton's not exactly the cultural,
the hot spot.
The
for
hot
food.
Spot. Yeah. It is the cultural center of the world in a lot of ways, but it's not exactly a five-star restaurant after five-star restaurant. So I might have to do a little research, but I can come up with something.
All right.
Seeing how the world, like the men's U18s and world championships have been here, like how much does that Canadian crowd give a boost? We saw with World Juniors, that Halifax crowd was insane. Like it was, even the guys talked about it post-game, like we felt so much momentum from our home crowd. Like I'm sure you guys feel that as well. Is it really that significant of a difference in playing in Finland and Sweden?
It is huge. When you hear that crowd that's cheering for you on that ice, I think it's huge. You see a sea of red and white in their jerseys. I mean, how can you not perform at that moment? And obviously, having that momentum, having the energy there from those fans, it's unbelievable. And hopefully, we're going to get a lot of people coming and watching us and see what women's hockey is all about.
You definitely will. Brampton's not like, it's not the, it has had some troubles with like attracting and having, you know, teams stay. The Brampton Battalion went back to North Bay. Brampton, maybe not necessarily be able to hold something, but to celebrate a single event, it's central. A lot of people are going to be there. Obviously, I'm thinking you're going to get that crowd. It might not be Halifax party worthy crowd, but Brampton will come through. I promise.
Yeah.
Perfect.
We're looking forward to it. We'll obviously be talking about it lots on the show. And while we had you here as well, we always ask you about the state of women's hockey, and we just got through that, but we wanted to do something a little different with you because why not? We get to write the show, Marie. So since we have a legendary Canadian on our show, we thought let's tie together legendary Canadians and hockey and have you draft with us your legendary Canadian starting lineup. So that means it's just like when you draft your favorite foursome in golf, the most people you want to play with, whether that's the most skilled, whether that's the most vibes, the most fun you'd have, who would be your starting lineup? Doesn't have to be championship winning material, but people you want to spend that time with.
There is one key rule, though.
Yes.
Hockey players are not an option. So I was told I couldn't draft you. Couldn't draft Sidney Crosby.
No.
Couldn't draft Wayne Gretzky.
No,
couldn't draft
players.
Any hockey players. So that's the rule. We're drafting a starting lineup of legendary Canadians, but hockey players do not apply.
Okay. Ready we put this? You to work, eh? Last yep. night you were Googling, researching. Yeah.
Not often that we, you know, get to put you to work.
That's right. I appreciate it.
We'll
okay.
take the opportunity.
So we'll go in order. You just go and then, oh, you got your notes
out. Oh, yeah.
She's not messing around.
I mean, you got to, I wouldn't have anything without my notes.
So Marie, then Justin, then me. We'll just keep going.
Can you give
in
me
order.
Second?
No, you can go second.
I just asked. You give me a second.
Oh, okay. Let's do it. Okay. Marie, you're up first. Who's right. first overall draft choice? Marie-Philippe Lynn.
First pick would be Christine Sinclair.
That's a good one.
I got to go for her.
So you got the striker on board.
Yeah, exactly.
Legendary Canadian, legendary soccer player, the greatest soccer player this country has ever produced. I think that's a great first overall pick. Now, I'm going second.
Okay.
So I got a few buckets that I want to hit.
Me too.
I have to, though. So one of them is athlete. One of them is activist. I got music. I got film. But I want to fill two buckets with my first pick. I'm going Terry Fox. Terry Fox is the greatest Canadian in my eyes.
I didn't know we could do non-living athletes.
Ooh.
Okay, that's we're talking semantics now.
Oh, that's fine.
I'm going Terry Fox.
I love that for you.
Terry Fox is my guy. He's on my team. I think he's the most legendary Canadian. He belongs on the money. I think everybody should strive to be more like Terry Fox. Terry Fox, my number one draft pick.
Okay. I also went a little
bit. Sorry, I didn't know we were actually like staging competition.
No, 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 we're good, we're good. I didn't know we were going. Well, my thought process was I want a team that is competitive, but not like we're not going for the gold medal at World Championships in Brampton. We're going for a little bit more fun vibes team.
Vibes coordinator putting together vibesy players.
That's what I'm going for. So
we can have both. We can
yes,
have fun
you can.
And win.
And that's because you'd be on the team, but I can't have you. So my first overall selection is Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
Player owner. He's going to be a player owner. He's going to be a pulse for the team. He's going to be a great locker room guy. The attractiveness level of our team just skyrocketed from the start.
Okay.
Just how can you not? The guy's been involved in this hockey market for the last couple months. He's the face of what could be in the NHL's future. I want him on my team. First overall, Ryan Reynolds. Oh,
yeah, Mailish, I had him.
Oh, okay. You guys are both on the Reynolds train. All right. Okay, was he your next pick, though?
Yeah,
was that
was,
like,
actually.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so immediately you're put to the test here. Yep, you got to pivot.
You got to pivot here.
Is this a snake draft, or are we going just order?
No, we're just
MPB
going
next? All right.
All right. I think I'm going to go with Celine. Celine Dion.
Oh, that's
Celine
a good
Dion's pick. A good pick.
Some singing, some fun. Why not?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
That's a good pick. I mean, we have no shortage of musical options, and I think for that reason I'm actually going to push that aside for now. I need a specialist here, and I'm going for someone who's not going to be involved in competition again right away. I'm going with Sir Frederick Banting.
You are like reading the
he's a specialist.
You went so straight into history, eh?
Well, he, you know, he came up with insulin. He
wow,
like if we're talking about what our country is about, it's about helping people, right? It's about helping people, making people's lives better. Sir Frederick Banting, the father of insulin. Specialist. I need that on my team.
Okay.
Wow.
you surprised me twice. Okay, well then I'm going to take this one, Avril Lavigne.
Wow, you're just going to leave me with the Drakes, Morissettes, Shania Twains
yes.
of the world. You're going to let me pick of the litter?
I'm going to go with Avril Lavigne because she first of all used to play hockey, okay? Go back and look, Ottawa region, absolute dynamite. She's an icon. I grew up loving Avril Lavigne as well. I wanted to be a little skater girl. I was a little punk. I had the checkered Vans. And you know what? You don't want to mess with Avril Lavigne. Like, she's got a little bit of an edge to her. She can be a little bit of a badass. So I want her on my team, not for intimidation factor, but a tiny bit of that might apply. So Avril Lavigne is my second choice in our draft.
Wow. That's a great pick.
Thank you.
I feel I'm more of our vibe than your vibe.
Yeah, my vibe's struggling right now.
Your team is extremely
listen, I'm
boring. I like it, though. Okay, Marie, you're
right. I'm up. Next up is going to go with Tessa Virtue.
Oh, God, these are good.
That's a good one, yeah.
Is
Tessa and Scott like kind of a package deal?
I think you got to spend two picks to get two players,
well,
Marie.
Well, okay, okay. Still fun. But you picked the best one.
Yeah, okay.
Of course,
I'll go with Tessa.
All right.
Yep.
I mean, it's a good pick. Did she invent insulin?
But you know what? When you pick Tessa Virtue, you also kind of get Morgan Riley because they're engaged.
Oh, you're giving her three.
Well, no, as a fan. He's going to attend all your games. He's going to be a supporter. It's like a free pick, but you don't even have to put him on your roster because he'll be there.
You're right.
Okay, I'm going to be the first to dive in. Oh, no, you got Reynolds. I was going to say first into film, but I'm not. Couple options here. Jim Carrey.
Pick the one you want. Don't give
one of
away.
My favorites, but I'm going Mike Myers. We're all sleeping on Austin Powers, I think, as a society. Like, great. It's a great series. And people were, like, too cool to like Austin Powers. Austin Powers stands the test of time. Mike Myers is a legendary actor, one of our best exports. Mm. I'll pick him to be my vibes guy.
Yeah, that's a good one.
My dressing room comedian, Mike Myers.
Yeah, you definitely need one with that roster of people. Okay, I'm going for brains, intelligence, bravery. Chris Hadfield. He's been to outer space. The guy has seen things we've never seen before. Do you know how athletic you have to be an astronaut? You have to be at peak physical condition. He knows how to be dedicated. He knows how to lead a team.
Mm-hmm.
He's literally maybe seen aliens, and I have so much to ask him, so I want him on my team. Chris Hadfield.
He's the king of promotional appearances.
Yeah, and he also likes to be in front of the...
He could be a front-facing member. He can handle the media, right? Like, yeah.
He's my captain.
Something's not going right. He can step up. He can deal with the media pressure. I think that's a good pick.
But never. I'm stealing. I'm winning this draft right now. I'll tell you that.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
All right.
Last one, eh?
No, you're two more.
Two more.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Well, we can. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
No. I was just thinking here. My next one. We'll go.
You're laughing.
We'll go with a little bit more singing. I love it. We're going to go with Bieber.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean.
I think Bieber's on everyone's list.
Yeah.
Everyone can use a Bieber.
And we can all have like kind of that hoodie to match.
Yes. The Drew House gear. Yeah. That's what she wants. Mm-hmm.
He can
and I'm
outfit
all
the team.
It.
Yeah. He can Why outfit not? The team. Provide the soundtrack. He hits a lot of boxes.
No. And you know what? He also brings a huge fan base. And that's important. You want your team to be supported. You've already got like. You're going to have a lot of people at your games. So she's on to something there.
Okay, so we're doing legendary Canadians. And I feel like maybe the most Canadian person ever in terms of the musical industry, like lots of great options. But I'm going Gord Downie.
Oh, that's
front man of the Tragically Hip, the most Canadian band you could possibly think of, at least in my eyes. I think Gord Downie's a good pick. Stay-at-home defenseman. Guy I can use on my roster.
I love that. It's a really good one, Justin.
Thank you, Ailish.
Okay, for my last one... Right? Because it's a team of five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? This is it?
No, you have your second last pick.
Okay. Damian Warner. Can't believe you guys didn't take him.
Why would we take him?
Why would you take him? He's literally a decathlete. He knows how to do everything. The guy is a pinnacle of health. He was a flag bearer. He's just an incredible soul. I want him on my team. If I can have Marie, this is like the male version of Marie. Okay. That's what I want.
All right.
Great pick.
Last pick. Make it count, Marie.
I know. I feel like when more like in kind of my range a little bit. So I kind of still more of a sports side here.
Okay.
My last one.
All right.
I'm debating between two, but I'm going to go with Félix Auger.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Félix.
Mm-hmm. I just watched Breakpoint. That was pretty awesome. So, okay. Yeah.
No, that's a great pick. A little injection of youth, too. Someone who's on the come up. Someone who has a lot of... potential. It could be his team one day if we're looking towards the future. I like that pick a lot. For my last one, since my team is already working at a disadvantage, according to both of you.
I'm worried.
I'm going to go with Peter Mansbridge. Legendary.
Why is your team 80 to 90 years old?
I just have, you know, I'm going to the Hall of Fame group. Peter Mansbridge, the guy who's gave us the news for decades upon decades, retired now. He's in the second phase of his career, obviously. He's doing other things. But Peter Mansbridge is a legendary Canadian. And I need someone, again, you have the people that can meet the media.
Mm-hmm.
You can deal with the PR aspect of things. I think Peter Mansbridge massaging the message for me and my team will do wonders for my group.
Okay. To wrap it up, I am going with... And I'm glad that I get to go last because I have a little bit of a moment to decide for sure. But I'm going to go with Shania Twain. I cannot think of a Shania Twain song I don't like. I think she is going to be, with her and Avril Lavigne, they could do some great duets that maybe uncover something new with the media world and I could bring some new music to her. But I love Shania. I get both my buckets of country and a little bit of punk. And I'm all for the girl power as well. I have another girl on my roster. With Avril.
Oh, okay. I thought you were calling Shania punk.
Shania is also red hot right now. She's going on tour. She's got a new album coming out. She opened up Boots and Hearts and everybody went wild for. Tickets for Shania Twain right now to go see her this summer, hundreds of dollars. I'm also selfishly adding her to my team, so I get to go for free. So Shania Twain is my last pick. And that's our full draft, right?
I think it is.
Let me run.
Want to quickly do the teams?
I would love to run through these teams. Let's start with Marie, Christine Sinclair, Celine Dion, Tessa Virtue, Justin Bieber, and Felix Auger-Aliassime.
That's a good team.
Incredible team.
Not bad.
It's a good team.
Not bad.
Let's now shift to Justin. Terry Fox, Sir Frederick Banting, Mike Myers, Gord Downie, Peter Mansbridge.
I actually think my team's pretty good.
Can't help but notice they're all men. I was just going to say. Classic.
Guys, I
didn't. Classic. Women in sport.
I didn't.
Not a single female on the lot.
I had Alanis Morissette on my list, Shania Twain.
Did you pick them, though? No.
Christine Sinclair was already chosen. I would have picked.
Finally, let's go with Ailish's roster. Ryan Reynolds, Avril Lavigne, Chris Hadfield, Damian Warner, and Shania Twain.
Okay. My team is probably the worst.
We'll let the listeners decide. We'll pick this out. We'll put it on social media. Somebody will be crowned the champion. I don't think it's going to be Justin.
You went Hadfield over Roberta Bondar, so don't accuse me of anything.
All right. Anyway, that's our all-star Canadian legendary lineup with our own all-star Canadian legend, Marie, who's here on behalf of Turo Skate. As we said at the beginning of the interview, everybody should check it out because it's a really innovative. I've never heard of anything like this in my life before. $29, you can get a legitimate mini Zamboni ice resurfacer delivered to your house. Maybe Marie is driving it, probably not. All the proceeds are matched to go to Kids Sport, a charity that helps support children in needing a financial assistance for sports equipment. It's a really great, innovative idea. I'm so glad you brought it to us, and we can help share that all countrywide.
Right now, just the Toronto area.
Perfect. You're broadcasting
tuned
to the best. Everyone listening in the Toronto region, check it out. Turo Skate. We'll be sure to share more information on it so we can help our listeners find it.
Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Marie. Congratulations.
Thanks, Marie. This was fun.
On your
Justin.
We'll give you the gold medal for the team. All right? Split in half for me and Ailish.
That works.
All right. That's Marie-Philippe Poulin. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Boy.
Listen, I was really insecure about this coming in today, but now that I've, like, listened back, I know my squad, like, I could not be more confident in it.
Good for you,
my
Justin.
My squad's great. I got a specialist. I got a wealth of knowledge with my last pick. I got the greatest Canadian ever in Terry Fox. Mm-hmm. I'm set.
Okay.
And I got Mike Myers to liven up the room.
Well, there won't be many of them in the room.
Okay.
Let's take a break. You can send in your picks for best team drafted. Please let us know. We have Joey Cash on the other side, senior NBA writer at The Score and host of Pound the Rock podcast. He's going to join us to talk about some Raptors from last night's game and their road trip in general. We're going to give away tickets to Luke Bryan once again. And then we have Michael Lombardi joining us at 8:30. We'll do an abbreviated wake and rake. Still send those picks in at 590, 590. We'll get to all that in the 8 o'clock hour. That's next on the Fan Morning Show.